In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, the writer to the Hebrews says, "Now the just, the justified, those who are just and righteous before God, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back from this thing of living by faith, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Now, if the just shall live by faith, what is faith? Good question. What is faith? Well, we don't have to wait to find out. The writer to the Hebrews says in chapter 11, verse 1, "Now faith is." There it is. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now there's the inspired writer's definition of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, before we get into the meat of that verse of Scripture, I'd like you to turn back a few pages to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Because I believe in this passage of Scripture, we have as simple a definition as to what faith is as we have anywhere in the Bible. That's how important this passage of Scripture is. And it begins with verse 8, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Now faith must begin with the testimony of God. If we don't begin there, we started in the wrong place. We got to begin with what God testifies. Now, he gives this testimony in verse 9. "Who hath saved us?" What a simple declaration of who we believe and what we believe. He saved us. We didn't save ourselves. We didn't contribute to our salvation. He saved us. And called us with an holy calling. Now the order is of critical importance. He saved us and he called us. What came first? The saving or the calling? He saved us. That salvation was accomplished outside of our personal subjective experience. He saved us. When he said, "It is finished," I was saved. He saved us and he called us. You see, everybody he saves, he calls with the call of his grace, a holy calling. He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. His saving us was not in response to anything we did. It's not according to our works. Now remember, this is the testimony of God. This is the testimony of God. He saved us. He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. What's that mean? Exactly what it says. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And here's what He did in His appearing, who hath abolished death. You see, when I die, I'm going to be brought into life. Death has no sting. Death has no sting. I'm going to be brought into the presence of Jesus Christ, and He's abolished the power of death because He abolished sin. He put it away. He abolished death, and He has brought life and immortality to light. Life, spiritual life, immortality, eternal life. He has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. You know, Paul said, wherever I go, bonds and afflictions abide me. Now, when I go off somewhere else to preach, I'm treated pretty good. Matter of fact, I'm treated real good. Paul couldn't say that. He knew wherever he was going to preach, he was either going to be tied to a pole and flogged or thrown into jail. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. Four. Now here is that simple illustration of faith. And there's four words that I want you to take note of. Knowledge. I know. I know. I know whom I have believed. Belief. Knowledge and belief. I know whom I have believed and I am persuaded. Persuaded. Now, that word is in the passive tense. It was God who persuaded him. You know when you'll be persuaded? When God persuades you. Not before then. And that's a necessary ingredient to faith, God's persuasion. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him. There's the fourth word, commitment, against that day. Now that's what faith is made of, knowledge, belief, persuasion and commitment. Now you got to begin with knowledge. You can't believe what you don't know. Is that obvious? You cannot believe what you do not know. You cannot believe what you've never heard. Knowledge is essential in this thing of faith. There's a content to faith. Faith believes something. There is no saving faith without knowledge. And I want us to notice this so importantly. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. He didn't say, I know what I believe. He said, I know whom I have believed. You see, what you believe will be completely determined by who you believe. I know whom I have believed. Now understand this, in this thing of faith, it's really not so much what you know, but who you know. You got that? It's not so much what you know, but who you know. You see, everything we believe is predicated on who He is. Because of who He is, that's why we believe that if He died for me, I must be saved. I can't be anything but saved because of who He is. I know whom I have believed. Now, the second word is believed. I know whom I have believed. There is such a thing as knowledge without belief. Think about that. There is such a thing as knowledge without belief. You know, I can study the writings of Paul, for instance, or any other writer in the Scripture. And if I give myself to studying it, I can tell you what it is he believed. If I read it and I have any understanding, I can at least spit back out what it was he believed. That doesn't mean I believe it. That's the difference. Doesn't mean I believe it. There is such a thing as knowledge without faith. Here's one example. I can believe that the Bible teaches that men are sinful. I can believe the Bible teaches that men are totally depraved. And the Bible does teach that. There's no question about that. But I might know the Bible teaches it and not realize it's true with regard to me. It becomes real when I see that I am totally depraved. That is the difference. It's one thing to know a doctrine. It's another thing to know the experience of that. I know whom? I know the Lord Jesus. And everything we believe is dependent upon who He is. And I know whom I have believed. Abraham believed God. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. You got knowledge and you believe that knowledge. You believe the content of the gospel. And the content of the gospel actually is summarized in that passage of Scripture we just read. He saved us. He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. I know whom I have believed. Abraham believed God. Now here is why Paul believed. Look back in verse 12. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I'm persuaded. Who persuaded you, Paul? If you have faith, you know it came from God. I don't have to convince you of that. I don't have to argue you into that. If you believe, it's because God persuaded you. And that is why you believe. Paul says, I've been persuaded. Abraham was fully persuaded. Who persuaded him? God did. He was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Faith is the gift of God, and we really don't understand faith if we don't understand that. We'll make it the result of our decision to believe. I believe because I decided to believe. That ain't faith. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, if I think my faith comes to me because of a decision I made, that's works. Paul said that. By grace you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not because of a decision I made. It's because He persuaded me. And I'm left with no other where to look. It's not like I have different options. No, I've been persuaded by God. Everybody that has faith knows that God gave it to them. Don't you know that? Don't you know that in your own experience? If you have faith, it didn't come from you. It came from the Lord. And here's this next important word. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Now, faith is a committal. Now, when people use the word commitment, they think, well, I'm totally committed. I spend so much time reading the Scripture. I spend so much time praying. I give a large percent of my income. I'm in every service. I'm witnessing. I'm doing everything I can. I'm a fully committed. I'm all in. That's not what He's talking about. He is saying that I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. Now, don't miss that against that day. Against that day, the day of judgment. I have committed. I know who He is. I know Him. I believe Him. I'm persuaded in His ability. Those blind men came up and the Lord said, do you believe that I'm able to do this? They said, yea, Lord. I believe. I believe He's able. I believe He's able to keep that which I've committed, entrusted is the word, deposited unto Him. It means you don't have a plan B. You don't have a contingency plan. If what He did is not everything in salvation, you have no hope because all of your eggs are in that basket. You look nowhere else. I've used this illustration before. I'll use it again. Commitment is getting in the plane. You can believe the plane will get you there. You commit to it when you get in, sit down, and buckle up, and you wait for it to get you to the destination. You know you can't get there. Only the plane can get you there. If the plane gets you there and you're in the plane, you'll get there. If I'm in Christ, if He gets me into the Father's presence, I'm there. I'm safe. And I'm secure. Now, that's what He's talking about. I know whom I believe. This is what faith is. Now, faith is. Here it is. Now, faith is. What a beautiful illustration of what faith is by Paul. I know whom I have believed. I know whom. That thief on the cross, he's used as an example of how little you believe. My, he believed everything because he knew who Christ was. Don't use him as an example like that. He believed the gospel. He believed that Jesus Christ was God. He believed He was sinless. He believed that He would come back as a mighty reigning King and couldn't fail. He knew He was the Lord. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, with that said, come back to Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped. The evidence of things not seen. Now let's talk about this word hope. Hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now Paul tells us in Romans 8:24 that hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? Now, I have a hope. I can't see this hope, but I have it. And I'm confident of this. I full expectation. I have a hope that on Judgment Day, when I'm going to stand before the thrice holy God, I'm going to stand before Him justified. Without sin. Without guilt. Perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, can I look at myself and look within and say, well, I can see where that's so? No, no. But I believe it is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. I have a hope that from then till now, and really ever since I was born, that everything that takes place in my life, God is working it together
for my good. I can't see it. Sometimes after the fact I can see it, but while it's going on, I can never see it. What's going on? His will. His purpose. Whatever is He ordains to take place. That's what's going on. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, what in the world does that mean? The substance of things hoped for. Now, Paul uses, or whoever wrote Hebrews, uses this word two other times in the book of Hebrews. And it's translated by different words, the exact same word in the Greek. But these other two words give us some idea of what this word substance means. Look in Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 3, speaking of Christ, who, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. That's the word, substance. Person. Same exact word. And in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence. Same word. Confidence. Substance. Firm to the end. Now, I love these two words that are used because it tells us, first of all, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the person of things hoped for. All my hope is in this person. Nowhere else. Nowhere else. All my hope is in this person. My hope is that everything God requires of me, He looks to Jesus Christ, His Son, for. He is all my salvation. Now let me show you a passage of Scripture that I think illustrates this. Now, Isaiah chapter 43. Verse 22. Isaiah 43, verse 22. But Thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but Thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. This is God speaking. You've not called upon me. You've actually been weary of me. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings. Neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I've not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast bought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices. But thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. I am he that blotteth out thy transgression for my own sake. Not because of anything in you. You see what he said with regard to them. I blot out your transgressions for my own sake. Be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. He is the person of my hope. The substance of my hope. The word means literally standing under. It's made of two words that mean standing under. He is the person of my hope. But the next word that we read in Hebrews chapter 3:14 is He is our confidence. He is the confidence of my hope. He is the standing under. He's the confidence of my hope. Now, from 1984 through 1993, we met on American Avenue. And it was a little white frame church. And we met there for 9 years. And when we first bought the place, it had a big pole in the middle of the auditorium. It was a small auditorium, probably about a fourth the size of this auditorium. It had this big pole. And you could actually see the floor kind of sinking in. And it's kind of nerve-wracking. You know, you had this one pole, and it was disturbing. I'd be looking at a pole right in the middle while I was trying to preach. But at any rate, Jim Sly, he was the only, when we started the church, he was the only adult there, Jim and Kay. A bunch of kids and Jim Sly, and he was an engineer. But he came up with an idea. We were going to put an I-beam up in the auditorium. And we took 4x4s on each side, and we got an I-beam in there and a jack and got it up there and lifted it up, and it supported the ceiling. We took off that pole, and then we covered with drywall the things the I-beam were sitting on, and everything looked good. And I remember the first service I preached. I looked out. Nobody would sit under that thing. They were scared to death. And Paul, you were one that was usually sat under it. Those rows were empty. I heard Jim muttering something under his breath. And he sat down and sat right under it and said, "See? Sitting under. I have confidence to sit under Him, where all God sees is Him. And He's able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day." A sitting under. Now, faith is the substance, the person, the confidence of things hoped for. Now, what's he say next? Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. Now, the things that are not seen have already been described. My justification before God, I can't see it. I believe it. Can I look within my heart and say, "Yeah, you must be justified"? I can't see perfection before God. I can't see sinlessness before God. But I believe I have it in Christ. It's the things not seen. And I believe, this is not seen, that everything's working together for my good, no matter what it is. Bad stuff, good stuff, mundane stuff, neutral stuff. It's all of the Lord working together for my good. I can't see that, but I believe it. Well, what's the evidence of it? Faith is the evidence of things not seen. And this is what I entitled this message: an evidence or the evidence. Now, don't miss this. An evidence or the evidence. He saved us. That's what 2 Timothy 1:9 says. He saved us. And this was not a cooperative effort. I do remember hearing this from a preacher, and he was trying to illustrate faith. And he said, "You're in the lake or the ocean drowning, and the person on the boat or the lifeguard throws out the life preserver, and there you are flashing in the water, drowning, but it's up to you to grab the life preserver." That's faith. You grab the life preserver. That's as ignorant and foolish as anything I've ever heard. Is there somebody that says, "No, you're out there drowning"? Somebody says, "No, I'd like it. Am I going to take it or not?" Well, of course not. You're going to grab it. If the life preserver is thrown to you. See, he always saves who he intends to save. It's not like there's anybody who, as far as that goes, you're dead in sins. And if it's up to you to have the ability to hold on to that life preserver, well, that's ridiculous, isn't it? Salvation is of the Lord. It's of the Father in election. I love the scripture. We're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God had from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. He didn't say, we thank you. Well, we're so thankful for you. I am thankful for you. I don't want to in any way. I remember I read an article by Jack Shanks. He said, preachers say it, we thank you for being here. He said, God, thank God that you're here. We thank God for you. We thank God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Salvation's of the Father in choosing you. Salvation's of the Son in redeeming you. He by Himself purged our sins. No help from you. All praise goes to Him. Salvation is of God the Holy Spirit and regeneration. Birth by the Spirit of God. Born of the Spirit. Now, you had about as much to do with your second birth as you did with your first birth, which is none. None. Salvation is of the Lord. And if you believe, you know that what I'm saying is so. Here's our statement of faith. He saved us. He called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, what is the evidence that He has done this for me? If they arrested people for being Christians, would they have enough evidence to convict you? What is the evidence? What is the evidence? There will be evidence. Faith without works is dead. Being alone. You know, on the great day of judgment, He says to one group, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. That was the evidence that they had been chosen from the foundation of the world. And to another group, He said, inasmuch as you did it not to the least of my brethren, you did it not to me. Now, it's interesting that the ones who did it said, we're not aware of that. When did we do this? When did we do that? And the fellows who didn't do it, we thought we had. What do you mean? We thought we had. We've done many wonderful works. But there was evidence. And we will hear from false religion. Now, don't miss that. There is such a thing as false religion. Non-saving religion. It's what most of, quote, Christianity is made of. Non-saving religion. We will hear from false religion that faith is an evidence. One among many. Faith is an evidence. There are also other evidences. You need to show as an evidence your changed life, your victory over sin. You need to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. And if you don't demonstrate those evidences, you don't have any right to conclude that you're a Christian. Is there anybody here that doesn't want a changed life? A life that glorifies God? And if you're a believer, you're not what you used to be. You're a new man in Christ Jesus. But if you're honest, you know your old man. I don't care how long you've been a believer. Your old man is just as sinful as he ever was. He hadn't got any better. Changed life? Looking for that as an evidence? I would never sin again. Your victory over sin. I would never sin again. I want to say this carefully, but as the Lord is my witness, well, I'm scared saying that, but I don't want to sin. Part of it my old man does, but my new man doesn't. I don't want to have anything to do with sin. I want to never commit a sin again.
But is there any one sin that I can say, well, I've got the victory over that? You know, I've been dealing with pride, and I finally put it down. No more pride. Got that one down. I've been dealing with just whatever sin you want to name. Have you ever completely? No. When we talk of the fruit of the Spirit, now if I'm a believer, I do have the fruit of the Spirit. Every believer has the fruit of the Spirit. I have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. If I don't have those things, I'm not a believer. I've never been born again. But do I look at my fruit and say, well, yeah, my love's pretty good. I got to be saved. My joy. Check that box. I've got that one down. My peace. Yeah, really good peace. I must be saved. My patience. My long suffering. Yeah, I'm good to go there. My gentleness. Yeah, I got that down. My goodness. Check that box. My faithfulness. Yep. Meekness before God. Yeah, I'm meek before God. Temperance. Yes, I have control to some extent, I hope, of my earthly passions. I think that I'm okay there. Would you do that? No. No, you don't look at your fruit to figure out whether or not you're saved. Faith is the evidence. Nothing else. If you have a works-based evidence, you've got a false evidence. Faith in Christ is the evidence of things hoped for. Turn with me to Acts chapter 8 in closing. Oh, this eunuch had heard Philip preach Christ unto him. Verse 30, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? Of course I do. Here's what I think. Here's what it means to me. No. And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he'd come up and sit with him. And this place of the scripture which he read was, and it was out of Isaiah 53, verse 34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh thou the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him what? Jesus. Jesus. Wouldn't you have loved to have heard that message? Wouldn't you like to have been right there with him, hearing what all Philip was saying? I going into Isaiah 53, that great message with regard to the substitutionary death of Christ, oh, I bet Philip was thrilled when he asked him that question. And they went on their way, and they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And no doubt he talked about baptism at that time. And I don't know what all he heard. I know he heard the whole gospel. I don't know how long this message lasted. They might have been there for hours, might have been 20 minutes. I don't know. But somewhere baptism came in the picture. And he said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? What evidences do I lack? What is it that I need to demonstrate before I can be baptized? I remember one time I heard of this one church that if you asked to be baptized, you were supposed to be examined 3 years first to see if you would we'll see if you're really serious, and we're going to watch your life and examine you for 3 years. And after that, if you pass the test, our test, you know, that's so wicked. If you pass our test, then you can be baptized. What does Philip say? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He didn't say, I believe that I bear the fruit of the Spirit. He didn't say, I believe that Christ died for me. He didn't say, I believe I've been born again. He didn't say, I believe I'm one of the elect. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went both down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. What is faith? It's believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Then, my dear friend, you have that faith that is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's pray. Lord, would you be pleased by invincible, irresistible, saving grace to persuade each one of us to believe your gospel. For Christ's sake, in his name we pray. Amen.